Well, today's Genesis reading, it's kind of a remarkable a gift of revelation to us. Obviously, the biblical writer writing in the 5th century, or actually the 6th century B.C., 500s B.C., was not really aware of mathematical science nor of the scientific explanation of the universe, and that certainly was not his purpose. As St. Pius XII told us in that great encyclical Divino Afflante Spiritu back in 1941, the real purpose of the biblical author is not to give a physical explanation of the physical world, a scientific explanation of the physical world. His purpose is to give sacred truths necessary for salvation. And that, of course, is what we're looking for, even though there are some really amazing coincidences that bring together the biblical narrative and contemporary science. The fact is, this narrative is a work of revelation, a work of sacred truth that tells us things that are necessary for our salvation throughout the ages. In fact, for really 2.5 millennia, and so 500 B.C. all the way to the present moment. And what are the things that are so necessary for what do we hear between the lines in this great Genesis narrative and the one we'll hear tomorrow as well, but I won't preach on tomorrow as well. So the first thing, of course, is that, you know, this biblical author, he's having to stave off all these rival myths like the Gilgamesh epic and so forth that surround Israel, and people are becoming sort of, taken into these myths, and they're really, being fooled by them in many ways. So the first thing, of course, is in these rival myths, there are many gods. So he's going to cure that problem and say, no, there is one God, and the one God is all-powerful, and the one God is the creator. And everything else out there is a creature. Things, the sea is not a god. The forest is not a god. The sun is not a god. Only one God. Everything else is a creature of God, a creation of God, and of course, being made by him, subservient to him. The second thing that the biblical author is trying, but is that necessary for our salvation? Absolutely necessary that we don't get any confusions about who's God and what's a creature. Number two, the rival myths, the Gilgamesh epic and so forth, view God as sort of treating human beings capriciously, right? So this idea that the gods there, just use human beings as pawns in this great scheme, and or playthings, or they just involve them in God wars and so forth and so on. And the biblical author is going, no, it's not like that at all. Human beings are made at the end of the creation. They're the highest creation. Human beings are made in the image of, and likeness of God. And God takes us totally seriously because he did make us in his image and likeness. He did make us with freedom. He did make us with self-consciousness. He did make us with a moral sense. He did make us with the capacity for love like his own. He did make us with the capacity to know him as a transcendent creator, and to know him as perfect truth, love, goodness, beauty, and home. He made us like himself. And of course, he takes us absolutely seriously. We are not playthings, and as it were, on the divine chessboard. We are the ones he's calling to eternal salvation, and he is the Lord of history, and he has control of it all. Third thing, there's nothing evil in what God has created. And God would never create evil. Of course, there is evil, but evil came by its own free choice. So what the rival myths talk about is, this kind of matter is evil, or this kind of thing is evil, or so forth. The biblical author says, no, God, after every single day of creation, looks upon it and goes, it's good. He saw that it was good. It's not evil. Evil comes into the world because of free choices that are made. Evil comes into the world not just by means of the angels' free choices, but original sin, as we'll see later in Adam and Eve. And so, of course, are these things necessary for salvation? Absolutely necessary for salvation to this very day. And this biblical author writing 500 years ago is prescient enough to put all of this stuff together in a completely unique revelation and to give it to the world as a whole, which in the end did bring on the scientific revolution. Without this viewpoint of creaturehood and so forth, we never had a scientific revolution for a long time. But the point, of course, is, yes, it was God's special gift to us through his inspiration of the biblical author 2,500 years ago. Amen.